welcome Wilma today. I always forget to do that. It's terrible, isn't it, when it's one of our own, as we say, and it's awful. So Wilma, welcome. And Wilma will be bringing us God's word later in the service. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this series on Philippians, and I think the word that I would use is encouraging. I found it so encouraging. And so this is the final one, chapter 4 of Philippians today. I don't think I've got any notices. There will be tea and coffee served in the hall after the service. And if you would like prayer for anything, just remain in your seat and someone will come and pray with you. I've got the embarrassing announcement to make because it's my birthday tomorrow, so I've never had to do this for myself. So happy birthday to me. Something here. I'd like to say that for the last 20 years, I think, a team from Open the Door, it was called Open the Book in the early days, has been going into St. Mary's School regularly, every other week, to bring the gospel, to bring God's word and God's love to the children, to the Key Stage 1 children at St. Mary's School. Now, this team has been led by Anley, ably assisted by Mary, and various members of the team have come and gone over the 20 years. And next Wednesday, I believe, is the final one. Anley is going to hang up his many props. I don't know what he's going to do with them. I shan't look at Mary when I say this, but if you've never been privileged to see one of these assemblies, it is, Anley's put in so much work over the years. And I've even been there a couple of times. I think even Paul was the voice of God once, I think, from a cupboard. So we've been co-opted when they've been short of people. So I'd just like you to come and accept this, Anley, on behalf of all of us, to say thank you so much for all that you've done.
Joan, and she was sitting and she said, I'd like to be part of your team. Now Joan wasn't a young chick anymore, but you know, she's still got full of energy. And so thank you, Joan, for your encouragement and that, and for all those who've helped us along the way. We've had ministers' wives, and lady ministers, from Church of England, we've had Catholics, and I was open to anyone who was interested to do this. And we dress up, and the kids dress up, and they love taking part and doing action songs at the end. But it's getting more and more difficult to go into schools. You've got to sign in, you've got to have your pictures taken. Once you've got through that part, you can't get into the area you want to put the props for the Wednesday morning, so you've got to find a teacher or somebody who's got a thing to do it. We've had, sadly, like Lorraine, who's had to come off because of her position sort of thing, how that's changed. who's got everything not well, or when I say not well, needs a lot more care sort of thing. So it's been getting harder and harder. We've had a couple of lovely teachers over the last sort of 3 years who've sat in and I said, can you do this, Helen, or can you do this? They've been quite happy and encouraged to sort of help. And it's been a blessing for me, even though it has been a lot of work. So, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anne-Lee and Mary, and all the team. Our call to worship today is taken from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I'm not sure that is Psalm 9, actually.
That's Psalm 91.
I mean, it's fine. It's still great words. Yeah, maybe we should say that anyway. Let's just say that anyway. It doesn't matter. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Hallelujah. We will continue with our worship today with three songs. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you. Praise Him who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Your love for us is wonderful, and your faithfulness never ending. We adore you as Creator, Lord, and Lord of all we see around us. As we come to you in worship today, come close to us, we pray. Forgive us when we have not spent time with you in prayer this week and reading your word, when we have allowed the busyness of life to get in the way. Help us to look to you first before we try to do things in our own strength. We are so thankful for all we have learned this month in Paul's letter to the Philippians. To rejoice always, even when life is tough. Not to be anxious about anything, but to present our request to God with thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we come before you now to say thank you for all you have done for us individually and as a church family. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us all and reigns in glory. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I'd like to ask Wilma to receive the offertory, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see us, such a full church. It's nice. I always like it when Bethesda and Bethlehem come together. And it's really nice. I like the singing as well when we are more people. It makes so much more joyful noise to the Lord. So it's really great. And I first want to say thank you for everyone who is involved in this service, to manage it and to arrange it and put it all together. So thank you all for being here and giving us a great service this morning. So yes, we are coming to chapter 4, the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippian church, where he thanks them for their concerns and his gifts and support. And when we glance over the entire letter, its purpose is to strengthen these believers by showing them, but also us, that true joy comes from Jesus Christ alone. Paul shows us how to live successful Christian lives. And it is a positive letter where he encourages them to carry on in their faith. And last week, I don't know if you were there, but Nola told us a story of her stepmother who was a midwife and delivered a baby. And when she presented it to the father, he was very concerned because the baby didn't have any teeth. Well, we all have to grow up, don't we? Like the baby, we have to get teeth and we grow physically, we getting bigger. But also we mature mentally from children to adults. And so it is in our Christian faith we grow and mature spiritually. And to become mature Christians, it is by being so identified with Christ that his attitude of humility and self-sacrifice starts to shine through us. Christ is both our source of power and our guide during our time here on earth. And developing our character begins with God's work in us. But growth, of course, also requires discipline, obedience, and correction on our part. And as we heard in the previous lessons, life is not always easy, but we have come this far. And as Nola referred last week to Clive Myrie in Masterminds, who says, "I have started, so I will finish, so will God, by showing us the right way, by placing the right people on our path, by reading and learning his word, and by following Jesus." Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him all the way. And this is why he urges the Philippians and all of us here to do what we just sang and to rejoice in the Lord always, so that we can grow in our faith and our gentleness to become evident to all of us. So I would like to invite Glennis now to read our first 9 chapters of the last...
9 verses?
Only 9, Glennis. Only 9 from the last chapter. You will do fine.
In this way, dear friends, I plead with Eudia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Glenys. Yeah, as we read the first part of the chapter 4, we can see that Paul's affection for the Philippians is unmistakable. He calls them his joy and crown. But even in this beloved community, there are tensions, like in many church communities. He addresses some relational problems and mentions the women Euodia and Syntyche, who have worked alongside Paul in spreading the gospel, and they are encouraged by Paul to find unity together. Now, Paul, he doesn't dismiss their disagreement, but instead he honors their contribution for their work they have done so far in God's kingdom, and calls on the community to help them to reconcile. We know that it's not always easy to get along or agree with everyone, as we all are different and we have different characters in our church community. Some of us are very outspoken, some of us are quiet, and some of us are super enthusiastic, and some of us are a bit more reserved when it comes to making decisions or putting themselves forward. But together, as a church community, we have to get along with each other because we all share the same reason to be here this morning, which is to worship the Lord, to learn and to listen, to pray, to mature, and being guided by his word. But sometimes tensions can creep in, and that can sadly divide congregations and churches. And this is why we have to keep on praying for our churches here on the island and our church community here represented today and those churches further afield. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. We have to look at Jesus and not just the people who seem to come up with the best ideas ever. It's first Jesus. And it is important that we are not led away from God through personality clashes. And sometimes we have to agree to disagree to get into the right mindset and show God's love to one another, because disunity and disagreements and unforgiveness destroys faith and church communities. We have to stand united and firm in the Lord. And I think sometimes it is quicker to criticize than to be grateful or thankful or encouraging, don't you find? Or is that only me? Since I read this letter of the Philippians, I really try to be more aware of the things I say to people. Criticizing things or people sometimes come too easy, nearly automatically. And that is not how Jesus intended us to be. I noticed it myself not so long ago, even though I thought I was right at the time, when my husband, he was emptying the dishwasher downstairs in the kitchen, and he was making rather a lot of noise while I was listening to my morning meditation, and it disturbed me. But he came up proud saying, "Oh, darling, I emptied the dishwasher for you, so that's another thing you don't have to do today." And instead of thanking him, of course, I said that he made a lot of noise. And these are just little things, but little things can become a big discouragement for some. And I feel that this letter encourages as persons, but also as a church community, to lift one another up, to solve problems together that may occur, and to pray for each other when circumstances are really tough. And this is why Paul encourages us to be joyful, to rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, he said, rejoice. Despite our trials and tribulations, the Lord is near always. He knows what's going on in your life. If you haven't been joyfully lately, you may not be looking at a life from the right perspective. Try to look at Paul. He was in prison, but still joyful. In a book from the American writer Dale Carnegie, which is called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, he described the life of two men. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw only mud, and the other saw stars. Paul wants the Philippian church and all of us who follow Christ to look for the good in everyone and everything, and to fill our minds with all that is right and beautiful and just, and not being influenced by what we are fed on a daily basis through the press, TV, and social media. He encourages us to stand firm in the Lord. And how do we stand firm in the Lord? The way to stand firm is to keep our eyes on Christ, to remember that this world is not our home, that the world's thoughts are not our thoughts, that the world's doings are not our doings, and to focus on the fact that Christ will bring everything under control, that we keep on praising him in every circumstance of our lives. Let us rejoice always, and let us sing our next song, which is called When Morning Gilds the Skies, My Heart. Well, there is no doubt that his entire letter from Paul is an encouraging letter. I think we all have to agree with that. And a positive message, not only to the Philippians at the time it was written, but also for us, for all who follow Christ. And the emphasis of this letter is on joy, is on confidence, in unity and perseverance in the Christian faith and life. And Paul expresses his gratefulness towards the Philippians and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Talking about gratefulness, not so long ago, I was reading something where at the end of the day, you had to go over the day and sum up all the nice and grateful moments of that day, rather than focusing on the negatives. Well, you know, I found it very hard, because very often the just negative things, they stand out. And I thought, Wilma, what an ungrateful person you are. But when I started to really focus on the day that passed, there were actually many positive things I could find. And one of them was a Facebook message that I received that morning from a lady here in church. She knows who I mean. To wish me a blessed day. And that is how I started my day. Isn't that great? And it is important to focus on the daily gifts we receive and gifts we offer to one another. Whether they are big or small, they can make a big difference to our daily lives. And it did this morning. Thank you, Heidi, for doing that. So let us listen to the next part of this letter, where Paul thanks the Philippians for their gifts. And I would like to invite Jan to do our second part of the readings, 10 to the end.
I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, we have now read the entire letter to the Philippians, which Paul wrote from a Roman prison. And I think we can all agree that it is a very uplifting and positive letter, even though Paul was imprisoned, not because breaking the civil law, but by proclaiming the good news of Christ, something I am doing here today. But it didn't stop him from preaching the gospel. For him, it was an opportunity to spread the good news of Christ to the people around him in prison, and to write this encouraging letter, which feels nearly like a love letter to the Philippians. He was turning a bad situation into a good one. He found joy in suffering. Now, there was a time in my life that I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior yet. And this is many years ago now. And it was a time after returning to my hometown in the Netherlands, having spent some time living and working abroad. And I was a bit at a loose end whilst I was trying to build up my life back in Holland again. But most of my friends that I left behind when I was abroad, they moved on in life. They got a steady jobs and a steady incomes, and they found partners, they got married, they got the mortgage, and they bought a house, and some even got children. I felt lost. Apart from the experiences that I gained from working abroad, I didn't feel I had done something substantial in my life, and I felt that the entire world had moved on except for me. And although I found a job at the bank where I used to work before, I felt alone and depressed. But I carried on, although I felt I had to start my life from scratch again. But you know, Jesus had his eye on me, like he has his eyes on everyone here. And he took me as he takes us, by the hand, on a path, and it was a long one, step by step, that fitted in with my character and my search for something better. And at the time, there was this popular guy in Holland. He was called Emil Ratelband. You can forget his name, but he was a very well-known Dutch TV personality. He was a positivity guru, a motivational speaker, and one of my ex-colleagues recommended his books for me to read. about positive thinking. And as I was very interested in any kind of positiveness to reshape my life again, I went to the bookshop to buy one of his books. Now, fortunately, and I say fortunately, maybe I should say even rejoice on this occasion, this guy was so popular at the time in my country that I could not find any of his books. They were all sold out. But while I was searching in the bookshop, my eye fell on another book written by Norman Vincent Peale, a Methodist minister. And that book, I think I've got it here somewhere, was called The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, although I'm not here to advertise his book, it was another step on the road to my salvation a while later. In a nutshell, this book recommends you to recite verses from the Bible to encourage people on their life journey, and many of these verses that are repeated in this book are often from Philippians. And one of them stayed with me: I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And I would like to put our first text up, because it would be nice if we can all say this together. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And we can get through every situation in life, bad or good, with the help of Christ. And every experience with him on our side will make us stronger and looking more like Jesus. Do you sometimes doubt your faith? Or feel inadequate? Or feel that you do not make any progress or difference in your spiritual life? Well, be encouraged, because for a while I have been having doubts about my calling to preach and did not feel any contentment pursuing it. I wasn't sure this was the right direction for me, and I was doubting myself and my abilities, and I do find it still a difficult task and don't find myself a great speaker. But of course, I did pray about it, and I asked the Lord what he wanted me to do. And then, during Lent this year, and I think many of us did, but I received a card from Christine Legg, we all know her, with the following text: be confident of this, and we said this already before, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that said it all for me. So let us say this one together. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross in our place. His work in us began when we first believed, and he will continue this good work throughout our lifetime and will finish it when we meet face to face. And the Holy Spirit is sent to be our helper here on earth. He is living in us and changes us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit enables us to be more like Christ every day. And this process of Christian growth and maturity began the moment we accepted Jesus in our lives and continues until Christ returns. When we just repeated it, is the Lord's promises to us. Isn't that great? He promises such great things. And the other day I was reading something in the Word for Today, and you might have read it yourself. It was a week ago. It was on Saturday, the 20th of June, and it spoke to me. And it was actually the day of the island walk, and the title was keep running. And it was a very warm day, as you remember, maybe. If you have done this walk, you know it's not a doddle. And I was thinking that to finish this walk, you really have to persevere and carry on, especially when it is hot, going up and down the coast paths and nearing the finish. The reading started with a reading of Habakkuk. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. And when I read further, it said it is in the midst or the middle of the race, in this case the walk, that we need our second wind and that we need to refocus on the prize that awaits us. Those who have run before us have passed on the baton through the centuries, from generation to generation, without dropping it. And what are we to do? Take the baton, run or walk, and keep going. And forget what is behind and strain forward what is ahead. Let us press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenwards in Jesus Christ. And this reminded me, sorry, I have lots of things that reminded me of things, and this is a quiz again. It reminded me of the quiz program, The Chase, or Beat the Chasers. You probably all know it. Where the candidates, they have to answer questions as quick as possible when the clock starts ticking. And you need to answer as many questions possible in a very short time. Now, some of the contestants, when they answer a question wrong, in their head they quickly go over it and they think, why was that wrong? I knew that question. And that is often the time that they lose their momentum and they cannot keep up with the clock and they lose. And don't forget, the devil does not sit still. He likes to put all sorts of past mistakes and regrets in your mind and keep on reminding us of them. But let us say this one together is our third text, to defeat the devil in his cunning games. Forget what is behind and drain towards what is ahead. Let us press on towards the goal. And that Christ is just heavenwards in Christ Jesus. In the book I was just telling you about, the author described the most effective anti-worry formula as well, which we can find, we can say together out loud as well. And it is found in our reading. It's actually Philippians 4, 6 to 7. And that is text number 4. So, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let these verses soak deep into you and repeat them, because they are our promises from Christ. He only has positive thoughts for us, and so through us, he wants us to have the same towards others, but also for ourselves. And to finish this service or sermon, I give you and myself a little exercise for this week ahead to say and think only positive things. And you will find out that it's not always easy, but with our eyes focused on Jesus, we can do anything with his help. And more we are going to look like him when we stay close to him in our faith. So I would like to say to you what Paul said to the Philippians. Fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, and pure, lovely and honorable. And let us again say this together. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen. And I would like us to pray and say the prayer that is taken from Psalm 16 together. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body also will rest secure. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. Amen. Amen. Well, the next song we're going to see is to reflect on what we have heard the last 4 weeks in the Bible month on the Philippians.
During this time of our prayers for others, there will be time for you to pray out loud for any concerns that you have for yourselves or for others. Father God, we bring to you the places in our world where the darkness of war casts its shadows over people's lives. We pray today for Ukraine, for the Middle East, for South Sudan, and so many other areas, and ask for just and lasting solutions to long-running conflict. In Scripture, we are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Give us persistence in prayer, hope in believing that peace will come, and trust in your promise that you make all things new. We pray especially today for the people of Venezuela, where 2 earthquakes caused such devastation on Wednesday night. Comfort those who mourn, and help those desperately looking for loved ones in the rubble. We thank you that international aid agencies have started to arrive to help with the rescue, and we pray that many more will be found alive. Father God, you have called us to live together in community, sharing what we have and carrying each other's burdens. We thank you for this church community. We pray for the leaders and all who serve in any way, the welcomers, coffee makers, flower arrangers, IT team, and many more who do essential but unseen tasks. One body, many parts. Thank you that each one is precious to you. May we walk faithfully where you lead us, and may our actions show your love in the world. We pray for the small and big choices that lie ahead for us this week, and ask that we would honor you in the ordinary things of life, knowing that you are with us always. Father, we think of the week ahead and picture those we may meet. We pray that we may show your love, not just to those we like and get along with, but also to those we may not like so much, or who perhaps don't like us or agree with us. Help us to remember that you have no favorites. Please help us to treat everyone the same, no matter what their views. Give us the vision to see others as you see them. Father God, you hold our lives in your hand. We pray for all who are in trouble, pain, or distress. In our hearts or out loud, we name those we know who need to know your love for them today. From Lectio 365. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.
Thank you for your prayers, Diane. We finish our service with the last song, May the Peace of God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And let us say the grace together.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.
Amen.